Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee and Tom Keane. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Joining us on the T-Mobile phone line. T-Mobile, switch your business to the Un-carrier today. James Shugg of Westpac. Good morning, Jim.
Hi, Bob.
I guess let's start with the ADP number because it comes in significantly lower again. Does that suggest that the trend in March was right and we should all lower our forecasts for April NFP?
Well, not all of us. I mean, our forecast was 170,000 for ADP. We're right at the bottom of the market. On the basis that we think that there is some valuable information in the March numbers, i.e. that there has been a slowdown in employment growth in the US. I mean, look at business investment in the last couple of quarters in equipment. It's basically flatlined, and in structures it fell very sharply in the first quarter. If firms aren't investing, they're not hiring. You know, the jobs and investment go hand in hand. And to the point that Tom was just making about productivity, I mean, one of the issues last year was there was so much employment growth for so little economic output growth.
Thank you. And that's but stop, Jim. That's it. James Shugg, that's incredibly important what you just said. You just codified the mail that we get. That's what we hear from people.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's right. And, you know, productivity data, they don't measure productivities. They just simply take the published data on jobs, GDP less farm output, and hours worked and earnings and so on, and they derive a productivity number. So it's obvious that you're going to get falling productivity given the mix of jobs and GDP that we've had of late. It's productivity that actually drives GDP. It should be the other way around, but that's just, unfortunately, you can't actually measure it so simply. But the point that you make is absolutely valid, and it's one of the reasons why we think that jobs growth is going to slow this year, because bosses will get their existing workforces to work harder rather than simply hiring more people like they did last year, and that's going to mean productivity will improve.
I mean, I look at this, Mike, and, you know, I'm going to go back to Dale Jorgensen, and it's a three-ratio system. James Shugg, you agree that there's a lot of noise in the analysis, but it's just telling how it's dampened.
That's right, and it's going to mean weaker jobs growth this year. And so to the extent that the Fed is basing its timing of retightening on the labour market numbers, I think that there's going to be a little bit of disappointment moving forward from here, in that we won't get the sorts of numbers we had last year if our view on the economy and the interaction between growth and employment is the right one.
Well, what is your forecast for non-farm payrolls this Friday?
180. And so we're looking for a pickup from the very low figure in March, but it'll be the second sub 200,000 increase in payrolls for the first time since January last year, actually. So just as ADP was sub 200,000 for 2 months running now, for the first time since the beginning of last year. So, and we think this is the beginning of a trend of weaker payrolls outcomes, partly because we don't expect GDP growth to pick up that substantially in the current quarter. Unlike was the case last year when there was a big bounce in growth and business investment continued to trend strongly through the winter disruption period, this year is different in that regard.
I look at this, James. Let me squeeze this in here, and we'll come back and talk about this. The reigning theme of higher euro, higher yields is one big short squeeze. Are you at Westpac seeing that? Is this just one big trade cover?
Look, we cannot come up with any fundamental reason to justify it. Look, since the ECB started its quantitative easing program, the euro is higher than it was then. Bund yields are higher than they were when the ECB started its program. So either quantitative easing doesn't work, or something is at play like exactly what you're talking about. It's positioning or getting out of a position. Exactly.
James, yesterday, the ISM non-manufacturing index, which everybody tends to call the services index, comes in stronger than forecast for the month of April. And a lot of people tend to look at the ISM numbers a little more contemporaneous than some of the more backward-looking numbers. And the jobs numbers, indeed, were put together at the end, in the middle of the month. So can we say that maybe what we're going to see out of payrolls is a low water mark these couple of months based on the dollar, oil, and the weather, headwinds that are diminishing?
Mike, I think some of those components are absolutely, or some of those factors are absolutely behind the weaker payrolls number in March. But there are some of them are transient, but some of them are here to stay, such as the substantially stronger US dollar. Okay, it's weakened a bit more recently, but I think that the stronger dollar is an issue that's impacting on profitability and revenue and investment decisions and hiring. For as long as the dollar's around these sorts of levels, that's going to be an impact that's going to take some time to fade. And we're talking about the lower oil price. Yes, it's picked up a little bit in the last little while, but it still means that a lot of businesses are unproductive or inefficient in the energy sector in the US, and that's going to impact on their investment and hiring decisions too. So I think some of this weakness is here to stay.
The hiring weakness that you're forecasting, does that change? Do we get back up to 200,000 as the year goes on, or are we in a permanently lower hiring cycle?
I think we are in a permanently lower hiring cycle, but that doesn't preclude payrolls getting back to 200,000 plus gains by the fourth quarter. We're looking for the second and third quarters to show growth of around 2 to 3%, and it's not until the fourth quarter that things start to rebuild momentum again, and associated with that, we'd expect to see payrolls growth picking up. Look, we're not talking about the jobs being lost. We're just talking about a slower pace of gain than the excessive gains that seem to be.
Well, that's a good point. Are we making too much of this? Are people too freaked out by higher hundreds hiring as opposed to over 200s?
I think that people may have got accustomed to the very high numbers of last year, but as Tom pointed out earlier, they weren't productive hires, and those people need to get worked harder by their bosses, and that means or precludes hiring at the pace of last year continuing this year. So it's not bad news; it's just less upbeat news relative to last year.
Range bound. Means opportunity. Where is James Shugg's opportunity given the boredom of my foreign exchange screen day to day?
Look, it's so difficult to give you a real trade.
I agree. I agree.
But there are so many things to think about. Greece, the election in the UK, shifting expectations regarding Fed timing. Will the ECB taper or indeed can expand its QE program based on incoming data flow? In the mix of that, there's bound to be a great trade. But as we've seen lately, currencies and interest rates don't seem to be trading on fundamentals at the moment, I'm afraid.
I mean, I'm looking at the run of the euro from a parity fixated 106, let's call it, up to 112, six big figures, let's call it. It's an elegant chart higher under anybody's decision. What do you actually do on the Westpac desk after you see a move against all of consensus?
Well, actually, again, I've got to say, we never expected it to go through to parity. I mean, we've got a low forecast of...
I don't mean you, but consensus, come on. Yeah. I mean, but James, okay. I mean, the zeitgeist that was out there.
I think that there's always an element of overshoot in expectations. That's the way data surprise indices work. The consensus just seems to be based on what the previous run of figures was, and so if there is a bit of a break in trend, it comes as a big surprise. But that's markets do tend to return to the norm or the average over time.
Yeah.
And picking that turning point is a real skill.
Do you have a target up on stronger euro? I mean, I'm looking. I'll put this chart out on Bloomberg, folks. It's a fancy pro chart and it's elegant.
It wouldn't be surprised to see 114 achieved before we start to see a move back lower again. And what's going to drive that move lower will be a reassertion by the Fed that they're still going to tighten this year. They're not going to tighten in June, but we still think September is live. And mm-hmm. If that's right, then you'll see the euro weakening. There's expectations regarding September build again.
Okay, so up to 114. James Shugg, thank you so much. Westpac.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, channel 119.